So I wanted to today to speak on the theme of Srila Prabhupada as the embodiment of the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can appreciate how unique Prabhupada really is in the entire Sampradaya, because really, Lord Chaitanya appears only once in a day of Brahma. And therefore, after Lord Chaitanya, who introduces Krishna consciousness basically on the Indian subcontinent, the mission that remains is to take Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Prabhupada did that. He brought it from east to west. And Prabhupada himself stated, he said that now this Krishna consciousness cannot be stopped anymore. It has infiltrated, and it's just like a disease, you know, once it has really contaminated, then it's too late. He said, it's too late. It cannot be undone anymore. It cannot be stopped anymore. So it's done. So Prabhupada did that mission from taking Krishna consciousness to from east to west, which is done only once in an entire day of Lord Brahma. So we can understand that that Prabhupada is a special intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly chosen for this mission. And we can understand, therefore, that the way that Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness in the world is particularly the way Lord Chaitanya desired it. So therefore, we should not just think that Prabhupada was just another spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession. Naturally, many of the other acharyas in our parampara are also extraordinary personalities. Right? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to begin with, was just inconceivable. What kind of personality that was, and so was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gaura Kishore Das Babaji was Saksat Vairagya Murti. He was so renounced, and he used to sit and chant and fall asleep at night. So then he would tie a big lump of mud on his head with a cloth, so that whenever his head would be nodding, that he would wake up again. So he was very determined to stay awake to chant. So the previous acharyas are extraordinary, but Prabhupada particularly had the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So sometimes they make it out to be that Prabhupada gave the ABC only, etc., and not the rest. And that is really that Prabhupada gave a lower teaching, and that there's still a higher teaching to follow. However, we should simply see that Prabhupada gave the highest teaching, the teaching exactly in the form that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted it to be, and anybody who teaches different than Prabhupada is actually teaching on a lower level. So someone, the teaching can be different in substance, or it can be different in emphasis, and in both cases, it may be Vaishnavism, and we can offer all respects to such Vaishnavas, but we should understand that still, it is not on the level of pure love of God as Prabhupada displayed it. One verse of the Bhagavad Gita that maybe suits Srila Prabhupada very well is the verse Yara Deke Tara Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Gyaya Haya Tara Edesh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they're given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. If we translate to Bengali literally, then it is whomever you see, yara deke, whomever you see, instruct him about Krishna consciousness. And that's really what Prabhupada did. Right? I mean, always, amazing, consistently. I mean, we may think it's difficult to do such a thing because of social restraints, but in Prabhupada's case, if he wouldn't have been there, we would have thought, it can't be done, it can't be made practical, this instruction. But Prabhupada practically showed that it could be done. He did it.
So we read a little bit from the Jaladutta diary. September 24, Tuesday. Today at about 1:30 p.m., I inquired from Wheel Room that we have come only 400 miles of the Indian coast. My sickness is still continuing. I take my meals once only, but today I could not take my full meals also, although I was fasting yesterday. I'm feeling uncomfortable. From the 25th to the 30th, no entries. 31st, passed over a great crisis on the struggle for life and death. A separate statement has to be written on this crisis area. Friday 10th. Today the ship is plying very smoothly. I feel today better, but I'm feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan and my Lord Sri Govinda, Gopinath Radha Damodar. The only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I'm tasting the nectarine of Lord Chaitanya's Lila. I have left Bharat Bhumi just to execute the order of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, but I've taken up the risk just to carry out the order of His Divine Grace. I depend fully on their mercy, so far away from Vrindavan. Then from Markine Bhagavad Dharma. On September 17, 1965, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada arrived in Boston on board the ship Jaladutta. Looking out upon Boston's skyline, he was thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness in such a terrible place. At that time, he wrote a song in Bengali called Markine Bhagavad Dharma. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I'm very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I'm seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you've brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message will penetrate in their heart, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. Aniyacha yadi prabhu amarinachate, nacho 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 prabhu nacho se mate, kattira putali jata nacho se mate. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you've brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. Srila Prabhupada came really in the mood of the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we see he is depending on the Supreme Lord. He's saying that you make my words, my power of speaking, suitable for their understanding. And that's very nice, because Prabhupada just simply took it, well, I'll just repeat Krishna's words, and then it's up to Krishna to make people understand. What can I do? I have no power. And on that strength, he did it, right? That the word of Krishna was going to penetrate in the hearts of the people and have an effect. So great power, great faith in the power of the words of the Lord. This is the actual qualification for delivering Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, you can make me successful or you can make me a failure. I'm like a puppet in your hands. So this concept of the puppet comes up in Chaitanya Charitamrita several times. We see that Ramananda Roy, when he's speaking, he's saying, my Lord, I'm not speaking, you are making me speak. I'm just like a puppet in your hands. And I can see that now what the conclusions that you're manifesting in Rupa Goswami, in his writing, are the same conclusions that you manifested to me. We see other personalities also are in the same moods. All the devotees from Bengal, they came every year for Rath Yatra, and then they were sent back by
by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How could they leave? How could they possibly go? But somehow or other, by the will of the Lord, they couldn't stay because they were dancing according to him. So, Prabhupada also often quoted the verse, Ekala Ishwara Ore Sababriche Yara Yaiche Nachya Tara Kaichen Riche, which means there is only one supreme personality of Godhead, one controller, and all others are dependent on him. All of them dance as he makes them do so. Yes. So again, this concept of dancing according to the desire of the Lord. So Prabhupada was very conscious of that, that he was an instrument in the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I wanted to continue a little further with some... I did a little research in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and as I was doing it, I felt enlivened. I was just following the keyword Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Lilamrita to see how it came up in different ways. And it kind of showed how in Prabhupada's life the Chaitanya Charitamrita played a part. So I'll read a little bit, and sometimes I paraphrase it, otherwise it will be too much reading. So we may remember how Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan, had a cloth shop, and that he was keeping every night a bowl of rice for the rats so that they wouldn't eat the cloth, and then he would come home a little late. It said, then after he came home, there he would read from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the main scriptures of Bengali Vaishnavas, chant on his japa beads, and worship the deity of Lord Krishna. He was gentle and affectionate, and would never punish Abai. Even when obliged to correct him, Gaur Mohan would first apologize. You are my son, so now I must correct you. It's my duty. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father would chastise him, so don't mind. Srila Prabhupada, still being Abai, was taken by a student friend to meet a sadhu. He was not into it, he didn't want to go because he had seen so many bogus sadhus, but then he was taken to meet Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, who immediately ordered him to preach the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So he immediately taught instructed him to preach the mission of Mahaprabhu. And afterwards, the friend asked Prabhupada what he thought, and he said that he was very impressed, and he said the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in very expert hands. So like that, Prabhupada was very conscious even then of the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Most of the literature Abai began reading had been printed on the Bhagavad Press, which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had established in 1915. The Bhagavad Press had printed the Chaitanya Charitamrita with commentary by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and the Bhagavad Gita with commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti, and one after another the works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Abai had been a devotee of Lord Chaitanya since childhood, and he was familiar with the life of Lord Chaitanya through the well-known scriptures, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. He had learned of Lord Chaitanya not only as the most ecstatic form of a pure devotee who would spread the chanting of the holy name to all parts of India, but also as the direct appearance of Lord Sri Krishna himself in the form of Radha and Krishna combined. The atmosphere was enriched with the history of Krishna Lila. 5,000 years ago, Radha and Krishna had engaged in transcendental pastimes here, and only 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya had rediscovered Radha Kund. Lord Chaitanya's great follower, Raghunath Das Goswami, had resided here for many years, constantly chanting Hare Krishna and discussing the activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here, in a small bhajan kutir, Krishnadas Kaviraj had written Chaitanya Charitamrita, the narrative of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati relished so much. So this is when So here we see already some progression. We see how Prabhupada first his father, then he comes in contact with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, then he meets him at Radhakund. So then finally, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta passed away from the mortal world on January 1st, 1937. He had been spending his last days reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and chanting on his beads. When a doctor had visited him, wanting to give him an injection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had protested. "Why are you disturbing me in this way? Simply chant Hare Krishna. That's all." So then after Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had left, in due course of time, Prabhupada himself wanted to free himself from household life, and as a vanaprastha went to Jhansi. The shop was in a crowded Jhansi bazaar and opened onto the busy street. Abai would sit down like an ordinary customer amid stacks of stainless steel buckets, plates, bowls and lotus and speak to Mr. Mitra and friends about Chaitanya Charitamrita. Or sometimes he would listen to Mr. Mitra tell about his published book of poetry and his literary reputation. Mr. Mitra saw that Abai's ambition was no less than to make the whole city of Jhansi alive with Krishna consciousness. Abai quoted Chaitanya Charitamrita. I didn't finish the quote here. Anyway, sometimes, now Prabhupada is already in the West. Sometimes as Prabhupada would shuffle through the apartment in his slippers, he would see Gaurasundar and Govinda Dasi seated at the kitchen table, practicing their first lessons in the Bengali alphabet. He had given them a Bengali verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita to memorize, and he regularly would drill them to see if they knew it. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahudito Godadoya Pushpavanto Chitro Samdo Tamonudo. Sometimes, as... something double here. "I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all." Looking over their shoulders, Prabhupada remarked, "This is very nice. Just like a child is learning to write. His writing may not be perfect, it may be crooked or imperfect, but the teacher wants to see that the students are trying. It doesn't matter how well they are doing, but just that they're fully engaged. So it's just like that, our service to Krishna. What can we do for Krishna? Krishna is everything. He doesn't need our service, but he wants to see that we are trying. We're trying a little bit to give him service. That's the whole idea." So they were learning to write. They were sitting and practicing to write Bengali, and Prabhupada thought, just like children. Then, again years later, in Boston, Swamiji would sing for hours from Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam, just singing with the most feeling all by himself in his room. And I would peek in the keyhole to see how he was. Sometimes I would go in and check on him when he would pause. I would try not to disturb him, just checking. I would just go in to see if he needed anything. Sometimes I would peek in and simply think, who is he? Nobody knows who he really is or where he really came from or how great he really is. Prabhupada, while he's preaching, "Is bhakti yoga for everyone? What about kundalini yoga? Why did Krishna ask Arjuna to fight? What about Christ consciousness? What about the Trinity?" Prabhupada was completely absorbed in defeating arguments and answering questions about Krishna, a samadhi of debate on behalf of his Lord Krishna. Yet, yes, he did expect them, if they were gentlemen, to accept his presentation as correct and to make a real commitment to Krishna consciousness. "So here's the offering," Prabhupada said. "Take Krishna consciousness. Now it is your choice. If you can take it, it is good. If you don't take it, that is your misfortune. If there's any difficulty to accept our formula, I ask you, all of you, is there any difficulty? I'm asking this. You have asked so many questions of me. Is there any difficulty to accept this formula?" The assembled guests and devotees murmured in reply, "No." "So why don't you take it?" Prabhupada laughed. "It is so simple, nice.
Try to understand by your knowledge. We are not pushing forcibly. You've got your intelligent argument, logic, everything. Got mixed up, huh? It's okay. So basically, he was saying at the end, well, either you accept it or not, but as you like, you may accept or not. So we have jumped many pages, I'm realizing now. It got mixed. Basically, we're seeing how Prabhupada is preaching and how gradually people are becoming more and more Krishna conscious. One thing we see is that the Chaitanya Charitamrita remains part of Prabhupada's mission, and that throughout he is preaching it, and that at one point he begins to translate the CC before actually finishing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he just gives preference to the CC. And at that time, he is... Just a second. So I guess I'll go back to Jhansi, because that's where it went wrong. We missed it. We went to a different page. So in Jhansi, it says, Abhay quoted from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one who has received the great fortune of taking birth in India should make his life perfect and then do good for others by spreading Krishna consciousness. And Abhay would add, the whole world is waiting, Mr. Mitra, for our spiritual revolution. Mitra would nod, his handsome, Nehru-like face forming a smile. But he saw that Abhay wanted people to do more than merely listen to him. He wanted them to do something. So I was looking at other ways to connect Srila Prabhupada in particular to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I was thinking, well, let me just research a little bit how he quoted the Chaitanya Charitamrita at different times and some of the main verses that he quoted. So then, when we look at the books, then we find a little bit of a variety of quotes, but the main quote quoted most often is this same quote he was quoting here. Bharata Bhumite Hailo Manusha Janmanjara Janma Sartaka Kara Para Upakara. Now, the same, if you look in the letters or in the conversations, then 95% of the quotes of Chaitanya Charitamrita are this verse. Every time again, he's quoting this verse, Bharata Bhumite Hailo, so many times. So, and in one conversation, Prabhupada says, he talks about India, about Bharat, the land of Bharat. Prabhupada, and it was so nice to live there. Spiritual atmosphere on the banks of the Ganges and Yamuna. Immediately you go, you become spiritualized. Vrindavan is also like that. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharata Bhumite Janmahaila Manusha Janmahaila Jara. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 9:41. He is 50% prepared by birth, Brahmananda. Just by birth, Prabhupada, yes. And then, by culture, another 50%. But they have given up the culture. So this is on a morning walk in London, March 11, 1975. So Prabhupada's pointing out, just taking birth in India, 50% already is there. Immediately, 50% Krishna conscious, just by birth in India. So, our connection with India is obviously very important and very, very special. Therefore, we also see in the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Prabhupada said that we should come, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should every year come to Mayapur, to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and said, and this will attract all the important members of Indian society. And so Prabhupada considered that a very important thing. Of course, not only to attract the members of the Indian society, but also
for ourselves, for our purification, so that we would, so that our percentage would go up a little more, right? From zero to gradually picking up also a little bit from that 50%. In his room in the Radha Memorial, Abhay would rise daily at 4 a.m. and arouse his young neighbor, Prabhakar Mishra. From 4 to 5, Abhay would write. At 5, he would walk in the Anichital area, at 5:30 bathe, and then chant Hare Krishna on his beads until 7, when he would hold a class on the Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam, although Prabhakar Mishra was usually the only listener. When Abhay wasn't busy managing the disorganized mat, now he had joined Delhi, and he was in Delhi with Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, looking after the Gaudiya Mat in Delhi. So at that time, when Abhay wasn't busy managing the disorganized mat and working on Gaudiya Patrika and Sajjana Toshani, he spent his time preparing a Hindi translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Although he was more accustomed to writing in English and Bengali, he reasoned that as long as he was preaching in Hindi-speaking areas, such a book would be important. But somehow or other, they could not help him to publish it. They had no money. It was too much. So they sent him a polite letter that they couldn't do it. And after some time, also asked him to resign as the manager of the mat, because they couldn't share his vision of preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. He decided to introduce the first volume with a biographical sketch of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ideal preacher of the Bhagavatam. So that is in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Prabhupada gave the synopsis of the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada, after completing Srimad Bhagavatam, and with that synopsis of CC, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life also there, boarded the Jaladuta, and on board there was a trunk of books, as we remember. He writes in his diary, "Today at 9 a.m., embarked on MV Jaladuta. Came with me Bhagavati, the Dharman of Sindhya Sansir, Mr. Sensgupta," that is the Chokidar. Or Darwan or Chokidar means security guard. So some gentleman came and said, Prabhupada was carrying a Bengali copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he intended to read during the crossing. Then after coming to New York, he was not living in Manhattan consciousness, but was absorbed in dependence on Krishna. Just as when on the Jaladuta he had suffered his heart attacks, his reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita had supplied him the nectarine of life. So then comes this morning class which Prabhupada gives on the CC. He held up the unfamiliar red book. "Because you are a little advanced," he said, "I'm going to read today from the Chaitanya Charitamrita." Chaitanya what? No one was able to pick up the pronunciation. They had heard of Chaitanya, certainly, but not of this new book. But in his room the night before, Prabhupada had informed some of the devotees that he would start reading from a new book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So already yesterday we were talking how some of the devotees were thinking it was about Sanatan and Santan, like that. The devotees were afraid that Prabhupada might leave and go to San Francisco and then would leave them alone. But somehow or other, it didn't happen yet, and the year ended and Prabhupada was still working on his manuscript of Bhagavad Gita, still lecturing in the mornings from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and on Monday, Wednesday and Friday evenings, giving Bhagavad Gita class. Prabhupada had begun working on translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a summary called The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So in India, they were staying in the house of a Mr. Agarwal who had given his whole house to stay. One day, Mr. Agarwal asked how long Prabhupada and his disciples were planning to stay.
Prabhupada said that he was very happy staying where he was, but would try to find a new place immediately. Mr. Agarwal insisted that he had no intention of asking Prabhupada to leave. His home belonged to Prabhupada, not to himself. He begged him to kindly continue to stay. Prabhupada said this reminded him of an incident from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he told the story about Haridas Thakur, the great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Haridas Thakur used to live alone in a cave where he chanted Hare Krishna day and night. Many pilgrims would visit him, but when they learned that a python was also living within the cave, they became afraid. Although Haridas Thakur was satisfied with his cave, he didn't want to inconvenience his visitors, so he said he would leave the cave that very day and not return. Yet even as he spoke, the huge python came winding out from the back of the cave into the presence of all. Passing near Haridas Thakur, the snake bowed his head to the ground and slithered away. The supersoul within the heart of the python had impelled him to leave the cave so that Haridas Thakur could remain. Prabhupada laughed as he told the story. Agarwalji, he said, you've said the same thing. You've said that you will go away and that we will stay. But no, we will go. We will go.
So Prabhupada's comparing himself to the snake. But
So basically, I find from these quotes that Chaitanya Charitamrita all along had played a serious part in Prabhupada's life, his preaching, and in Gorakhpur he lectured for a number of days to defeating Mayavad arguments. Gorakhpur is the place of the Gita Press, which sometimes publishes some books with Mayavad conclusions, so Prabhupada was right there cutting down Mayavad from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada stayed as the guest of Mr. Balu, a Madrasi businessman. For 3 nights in the large hall with 5,000 people, Prabhupada lectured in English. One evening he told a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita of an illiterate South Indian Brahmana whom Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized for his staunch devotion to his spiritual master and to the Bhagavad Gita. The next morning and each subsequent morning, the Hindu, one of Madras's two leading newspapers, printed a full summary of Prabhupada's lecture. The other principal newspaper gave a more general account of A.C. Bhakti Swami's arrival and the parade with his Western followers. While in Calcutta, before coming to Mayapur, Prabhupada had called several senior disciples into his room. I've had many requests, he said to them, to translate Chaitanya Bhagavat, but I'm going to translate the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is that all right? Oh yes, Prabhupada, Bhavananda Goswami had replied. That's wonderful. Decades ago, Prabhupada had written essays based on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and over the years, he had translated some of the verses and written purports to them. Then in America in 1968, he had completed the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary study based on certain important passages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's interesting that Prabhupada went for the Chaitanya Charitamrita rather than the Chaitanya Bhagavat. We discussed it a little earlier, that especially the Chaitanya Charitamrita is very systematically establishing all the conclusions of Krishna consciousness. Like the Adi Lila is very important. We did not really in this seminar deal with it very much, but it systematically establishes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first of all, it establishes that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then it establishes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that very same Krishna, right? So, in this way, the Chaitanya Charitamrita establishes that on several occasions, it establishes that the worship of Chaitanya of Krishna is superior than the worship of any other deity. First of all, okay, demigods is one thing, but then even superior to the worship of Lord Vishnu. We see when Lord Chaitanya was in South India, he met Venkatabhata, who was a great devotee in the Sri Sampradaya, and
He was worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And there was a whole debate between the two. So Lord Chaitanya was asking, well, how is it that even Lakshmi could not enter into the rasa dance with Lord Krishna? And how is it that Lakshmi could even desire it? How could she desire that? Right.
So then Venkatabhata said, there was no fault in that because Krishna was a different form of the same Narayan. So that was all right.
So Lakshmi was not unchaste in that. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but then why could Lakshmi not actually enter? If Krishna was another form of the same Narayan, then why could Lakshmi not enter into the rasa dance? Right.
So there it was established that the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or of Krishna, sorry, the pastimes of Krishna are free from any form of aishvarya, any form of opulence, and that only pure devotion is there. Whereas in Vaikuntha, even the relationship with Lakshmi Devi always has an element of awe and reverence in there, which in the Vrindavan relationships is not there. So therefore, it was unique, and even Lakshmi could not answer. So Prabhupada published one volume, particularly with chapter 7 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like an advance. There's a reprint done recently. I saw it just somewhere. Lord Chaitanya in 5 feature to defeat Mayavad philosophy. Because we can remember that Prabhupada himself gave that verse, Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharine, he's particularly preaching the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Nirvishesh Sunyavadi, to defeat and to rid the world, or especially the Western countries, from Mayavad and Voidism. So Prabhupada immediately went for those chapters, chapter 7, where the chapter of Prakashananda Saraswati, the Mayavadis in Sannyasis in Varanasi, who were defeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So while Prabhupada stayed in Vrindavan, he started the translation of the CC, and he steadily worked on it, and actually worked on it for 18 months. Finished it on the 10th day of Kartik in the year 1974, which is interesting because we will also finish this seminar on the 10th day of Kartik, right? And it's then also Kartik started on this. It was following the same dates as this year, so it's an auspicious year to speak on the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Vrindavan, because Prabhupada was translating the CC in Vrindavan here and then completed it. Was a coincidence, I just found out yesterday as I was looking. So, yes, I can go on with the quotes, but it takes a little long, so I'm going to skip some. We may remember how at one point Prabhupada was desiring that the books would be published. He had finished all the 18 volumes and they were not printed. So Prabhupada demanded that they would be printed. Now at the time, the BBT would produce one book every 4 months. And it was like the books were thinner than today. One in every 4 months. So recently, a new team of managers, Rameshwar and Radha Vallabh, had come in. And they had heard that Prabhupada wanted the books to be published. So they were planning to produce one book a month. So speed it up 4 times as much. So it was a serious increase. But Prabhupada was not happy with it and wanted 18 volumes in 2 months. Right? Yeah, so that was like
instead of 18 volumes in 18 months, 18 volumes in 2 months. And the marathon then that took place was inconceivable. Devotees were working day and night, and different devotees were taking the work of other devotees out of their hands. An artist would be finishing, would be painting, and take a nap, and someone else would finish the painting, and before he woke up, it was already taken away. And like that, somehow or other, the impossible was done. And it's very nice that they just completed the advance copies for Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. They somehow or other managed that. And just in the middle of the Vyasa Puja, a devotee arrived with the last advance copies. Were you there? But that's very nice how you can see how the whole thing became transcendentally surcharged, and that Krishna was allowing this all to happen in this way. I'm sure they didn't calculate that in the beginning, that we're going to finish that Vyasa Puja. That must have come along the way. Wait a minute, you know, Vyasa Puja is there, and then you start making that the target date. And it's just very nice how it all coincided by Krishna's arrangement. Yes. You want the mic? Yeah, he saw all these this fancy equipment there, you know, and he was impressed, and he said, well, you know, at now you have to show something, otherwise what's the use of all this? And, well, when Prabhupada told Rameshwar that they had to produce the books in 2 months, Rameshwar said, impossible. And that's when Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. That's, he said it on other occasions too, but that was the first time he said that, actually. So that was a heavy thing, because, you know, he was really demanding something impossible, right? Practically impossible. But it was not impossible. And Rameshwar realized that his spiritual life was online, and he had to just adjust his whole concepts. So it was very intense. Yeah, it had already started a little bit like that earlier, because we already read here about Rameshwar's newsletters. At one point, when Srila Prabhupada saw one of my daily Sankirtan reports, he commented, "Who is Rameshwar?" This was before the marathon. Day after day, Srila Prabhupada was seeing these ecstatic reports sprinkled with nectarian quotes from his Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter that had just been published, that only that one chapter. He realized that these disciples were in ecstasy, so he asked, "Who are they?" He could see we loved Sankirtan. It was not an artificial burden, or that we were struggling. He could see there didn't seem to be any struggle. It was like fun, bliss, ecstasy, and the whole philosophy was there. We were completely tuning in to the Chaitanya Charitamrita philosophy that Lord Chaitanya descends with his confidential associates to spread love of God, but doesn't discriminate who is a fit candidate and who is not. These were the verses we were putting in the daily letter. This was our mood, and Prabhupada loved it. And it's true, Prabhupada noted that. And Prabhupada at one point said, when the book distribution really picked up, he said that, I'm blessing that you will be blessed by Krishna a million times over. And in the Lilamrita, it says that never before had Prabhupada said, you'll get blessings of Krishna for this service, you'll be blessed. But a million times over, that he had never said. No. So that's very special. Maybe, yeah. But it's distinctly mentioned there at the end of CC that he finished it there. And then in Vrindavan. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't got my... when it comes to dates, you know, I would have to research. I really can't remember. So, Hari Sori mentioned the Chaitanya Charitamrita story of Lord Chaitanya and Chota Haridas. From that story, said Hari Sori, it appeared to be very difficult for a fallen sannyasi to regain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. One who falls from sannyas, Prabhupada replied, is called Vantasi. One who vomits and then eats it. So, if they become grihasthas again, then how can they get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, asked Hari Sori. If the spiritual master gives that facility,
and makes that arrangement, said Prabhupada, then Krishna will accept the arrangement, and later he again can become sannyas. Okay. The first part of the statement is what interests me the most. Not so much about that later on one can become again sannyas, but that if the spiritual master gives that facility and makes that arrangement, then Krishna will accept the arrangement. And in this way, actually, we see how Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya, did a very special work. He established certain demarcation lines. Like, one example we find is in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, right? The Hari Bhakti Vilas, which was written by Sanatana Goswami. We may remember that that 2 days ago we were reading how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had instructed Sanatana Goswami to write a book on Sadachar, Vaishnav behavior. So then he gave him instructions how to do it. And finally, Sanatana Goswami asked for the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be empowered to do it. And subsequently, he did write it, and that became the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Now, the Hari Bhakti Vilas was written for that particular time, place, and circumstance. And at that time, many of the Vaishnavas were very Brahminical and very strict about Vedic principles. So, therefore, within the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is said there are many Vedic principles that are not absolutely essential for bhakti, but that are part of Brahminical culture. So there is a distinction between the two. And we see some principles in the Hari Bhakti Vilas which are quite intense. Like it says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that if you eat on Ekadasi, then there are severe reactions. Did anyone ever eat on an Ekadasi? You did, huh? Yeah, me too, right? So it says that if you eat on an Ekadasi, French fries and all that, if you eat on an Ekadasi, that then you'll take birth as a hog, right? It says like that in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. So that's pretty intense. So what is our future? Are we all to become hogs, right? It's right there. No. Huh? Yeah. Prabhupada also ate on Ekadasis, right? And Prabhupada permitted us to eat on Ekadasis and just told us simply to fast from grains, right? So, Prabhupada adjusted here that standard, right? And he could do so because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was the carrier of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord feels very indebted with the devotee. Sometimes it is said that a devotee is never an ordinary person. We know the first apichit sudra charo bhajate mamananya bhak, etc. That even if a devotee is fallen, he's still special. So there are even some commentaries where it says, yes, but what if he's not following anything? Still he's considered saintly. How is that? How is a devotee still special? We may have devotees who are nice, but then there may be devotees who are not nice at all in their behavior. They may be very harsh and unfriendly and etc. So how can we see them? How can we appreciate them? We should see that we should not just see the devotee, but we should see that behind every devotee is Krishna. Because the devotee has done some service for Krishna. And Krishna, it is said, he is known as Achyuta. Achyuta as the one who is infallible. And Achyuta means he is infallible because he never fails to notice the tiniest little service rendered by his devotee. That is Krishna book. So considering that, we can understand that behind every devotee is Krishna. Therefore, a devotee is never ordinary, even if he appears to be very ordinary. He's got the blessing of Krishna. And Krishna is personally right behind him, is following him throughout his life and is helping him. But what to speak of the pure devotee? The pure devotee has so much pleased Krishna
that whatever the pure devotee says or does, Krishna will uphold. It is said that Krishna even upholds the words of the brahmanas. Right? Whatever a brahmana speaks comes true. So what to speak of the word of his pure devotee? It just becomes true. So in that way, I find that point very important, that the spiritual master can make certain arrangements like that. And that it is very important, not so much in reference to this sannyas thing, that fallen sannyasis can get married and still get the mercy of the Lord, but even more so to authorize the chanting of 16 rounds, right? And no, a minimum of 16 rounds, because where does this number come from, right? In a sense, I mean, we know how it was. It was 64, 1 lakh. Now that came out of the tradition, that came, from the six Goswamis, right? At that time, they were chanting at least 1 lakh of names, and it was again reiterated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then Prabhupada in America, when Hayagriva said that it was impossible, cut it in half, 32, and then cut that in half again, 16, but then no less. Yeah? So that number was totally arbitrarily. Yeah? There was really no scriptural reference. It was a practical adjustment. But still, the fact that Prabhupada established that, right, was that Prabhupada decided that, all right, I'll stretch the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll simply stretch it. Right? From 64, all right, cannot be done in the Western world. Appreciate it. It is not a program for the whole world. I have to give it is the mission of Mahaprabhu to give the program to embrace the whole world. Then it has to be practical. Then I will adjust it to something that can be done by everyone. 16, no less. Okay? And he stretched it, and we can understand from this statement that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is upholding that and is honoring that, and that therefore his mercy had been extended by Prabhupada, and that anyone who chants a minimum of 16 rounds will be eligible to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's why this quote, I take it as very important from where Prabhupada, it was Prabhupada Lilamrita chapter 50. I don't know if any reactions from your side or... No, it's. I think it is out of. It is not according to Kaladesha Patra. It is out of time, out of place for us. See, within the Vedic culture, where everything is discipline, these things make sense, and discipline is the main means of purification. If you read the Dharma Shastra, it is one big disciplinary. Scripture full of injunctions of, you know, how to do this, how to do that. So that's what the Veda is doing. A very refined purification by prescribed behavior. Everything has to be done properly and nothing left over to chance, which is totally impossible for us, too difficult. And we just, when we see all these rules, we just think we're going to commit offenses, you know. And it's like, it's discouraging. It makes Krishna look like a very heavy, punishing God, you know, like who's sitting there, the wrath of God. And it's like, it doesn't make him very lovable and attractive to us. So, your point is very relevant. Therefore, we see that somewhere the Vedic culture and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya meet, right? And that they begin to overlap, just like the ocean and the beach, you know, are overlapping. The water of the waves is overlapping. And there's a demarcation line, and Prabhupada is marking the demarcation line in the area where it overlaps, Vedic culture. So it's very interesting. We see that out of India, some Vedic culture comes, and we see that the Gaudiya Math is carrying that forward, that Indian tradition, and some sort of Brahmanism, some Brahminical standards coming out of Dharma Shastras and Vedic culture like that. And then we see that Prabhupada just comes in with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and adjusts it to make it practical. Prabhupada also says in one purport in CC, he says that it's not that for the whole world the same standards need to be applied. He said there can be adjustments made on certain principles. Not in the main substance, but in certain principles. So we see he did that in order to spread Krishna consciousness. And that we cannot impose the same standards from India, right, in our movement. So sometimes we see that, you know, like here in Vrindavan, I was the temple president for quite some years, and then there were so many debates, you know, about like fasts, right? There was a fast, and then whether we should fast till moonrise and take only some Ekadasi breakfast and then do the full feast the next day, or things like this, you know, or whether we should fast till noon, and all these debates were there. And if you researched it from Prabhupada's from Prabhupada's example, then sometimes you saw noon, right? You saw he did noon. And then when you would go, like, you know, inquire here in Vrindavan from pandits, and according to the local rules, then it was always moonrise, you know, like anakalpa, only Ekadasi prasadam, and then no grains, only the next day. So we see how these two are meeting, like the beach and the ocean. So Prabhupada made the demarcation line for the whole world. And Lord Chaitanya upholds that for the whole world. So sometimes it is felt that now, as we are maturing in our movement, that we should come up and that we should start following higher and stricter standards than we used to, because now maybe we can. I have doubts about that. I have grave doubts about that. I don't know if we have... Number one, I don't know if we've come up that much, actually. But even if we have, then one argument is that I feel that we should transmit the teachings and the message of Prabhupada to the next generations. I think one of the most important things we can do as a generation is to very faithfully transmit the teachings and standard and emphasis of Prabhupada and not change that. See, Krishna consciousness is spreading now. That is going on. It's there. It's out there, right? And it's out there and living a life of its own practically, whether we're preaching or not, right? It's there. It's multiplying. People are now coming to Krishna consciousness without us directly introducing it to them, right? They find it somewhere because it's everywhere. But our business is to transmit the standards and teachings the way Prabhupada gave him, and the emphasis. And the more we do so, I think that would be our greatest contribution. Because if we give a very clear signal, this is Prabhupada, you can see already now how much confusion is there, right? And how long ago is it that Prabhupada's left the world? Already now, so much confusion about Prabhupada and who Prabhupada is and what Krishna consciousness is supposed to be. Can you imagine what it's going to be like after a few hundred years? So the more we transmit that message, well, the more beneficial. Yes. Sankhya Purva Ganama Gana Natibi. That is the quote that one should stand a fixed number of rounds. Sankhya Purva Ganama Gana Natibi. Also comes also in CC. I'm not sure where it's originally from. Now, I think Sat Goswami Astika is not the origin of that. I think it already comes earlier than that and is incorporated in Sat Goswami Astika. Aha. Aha. Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the Gaudiya Math never asked for a fixed number of rounds. There was no such thing as you promised to chant so many rounds. Prabhupada formalized the initiation like that. And what is the how many rounds, and what are the four regulative principles, all that. That was not part of initiation in the Gaudiya Math. Those questions were not asked. The real thing was that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, outside the initiation, preached about the chanting of 64 rounds, right, and said they were following. He also said, at least four, no less than four, right? And so he recommended somewhere between 4 and 64, and then left it up to the individual to fill it in according to his thing, his level. He did say if one doesn't chant 64, one is fallen, right? Whatever that means. And but it was never that a formal vow was made to chant 64 rounds. Only in ISKCON did Prabhupada formalize it like that, and that. For obvious reasons, right? As we can see, even while it's formalized, it's hard to follow. So sometimes, you know, we see that in different Gaudiya Maths, they have different standards. And some Gaudiya Math preachers are preaching, are initiating at four rounds. And then we get reactions from ISKCON, this is bogus, substandard. No, it's not. It's allowed. It is actually not outside the instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, but yeah, the special mercy of Prabhupada is always special, always stands out. That is the point that one is better off taking the Srila Prabhupada. Just as like when you go to court, you can take different lawyers, right? But if you take a top one, if you're a serious case, you take the best one. So in my case, being such a sinful wretch, and if I have to plead before the judge to let me go to the spiritual world, I'd rather get the best lawyer. So there's no doubt who that is. Huh? You had a point, Prabhu. Yeah. So is any devotee who chants 16 rounds fallen? That is the question. Yes. We are reconciling that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the desire of Prabhupada, has extended special mercy. And that anyone who is simply chanting a minimum of 16 rounds every day and is following four regulative principles is accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being on the spiritual platform. Right? So, fallen means that one is on the bodily concept of life. Fallen really means that one allows himself to be controlled by the bodily dictates. And as long as one is transcendental to the pushings of the body, and one is not following the pushings of the body, one is not fallen. One is rather situated within pure devotional service. Then one can gradually advance in the process of pure devotional service to the topmost level. But one is not considered to be fallen. Fallen really means that we are controlled by the senses and by the pushings of these senses and therefore engaged in sinful activities. Then we are really fallen. It's hard to judge these two, you know. I think that I found that in Bengal, right, there is a lot of culture. I mean, I lived 6 years in Mayapur, and I noticed at that time that there is a lot of culture, just that people know so many things just by culture, right? And that is certainly very valuable. So I think Gaudiya Math has still a lot of culture, and ISKCON has less culture in that sense, right? Because we are all coming from our Western lifestyles are a little different. So ISKCON has a lot of fresh and new enthusiasm and a lot of faith in Prabhupada, a missionary spirit. In that way, it's still very special. It's the vehicle for the whole world. ISKCON is, in a way, more broad-minded. It is shaped like that. Prabhupada designed it more broad-minded to deal with people from the whole world so that the Chinese, the Japanese, the Africans, the Indians and Americans could come all together and call out Jai Satchinandan Gaur Hari in Mayapur and build the big temple together and all go back to Godhead. So it's a evolution. It's like a progression. It is like it is said that Srila Prabhupada said, my spiritual master Srila Bhakti Siddhanta made a channel from the spiritual world so that the mercy could flow. And then we can understand that Prabhupada, from that one channel that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta made, made many branches to distribute the mercy to different parts of the world. And in the cause of it, he had to adjust it according to the landscape. Right? So he did that. But the mercy is there. So to make a comparison between Gaudiya Math and ISKCON, pros and cons, I think is getting into something we need not do. We should appreciate that there is a competitive spirit between the two is something that has some misfortune. We hope that that will be worked out. Rather, we should coexist like in a brotherly mood as representing both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, preaching, and like good neighbors. You know, there may be some differences, like the people that live in the same street. You know, everyone has a different thing, and some people have a different idea about things, but like good neighbors, we should live together. But like mature neighbors, we should be careful to respect each other's assets. Like now, sometimes it feels that we have a neighbor who comes into our garden and takes the apples of our apple tree, right? And that is a problem. And then we become like, hey, get out of my garden. These are my apples, right? And it comes down to the kind of apple relationships. But we would rather have a more mature relationships of mutual respect. And then I think we can coexist nicely. And I think that is the future. I think in the future it will come to that, without a doubt. The present strife and tension is always over this apple problem, right? So there we have to mature in both camps. But otherwise, we should appreciate. ISKCON can learn something from Gaudiya Math. Gaudiya Math can learn something from ISKCON. We can learn from each other. Of course, you know, as far as I'm concerned, no one of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples showed the spirit that Prabhupada had. It is said that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was known as the Lion Guru, the Simha Guru. And as far as I can see, he had only one lion disciple, right? And who continued like that. And that was obviously Prabhupada. And not just that Prabhupada is the bold preacher, but Prabhupada is the loving preacher who descended down to the level of the people at the Lower East Side, who lived with them, who shared with them, who carefully and patiently lifted everyone up from where they were. No one had that kind of patience. No one had that kind of love of God to have this kind of ecstatic mood in preaching. Therefore, when we speak about anyone being on the level of Prabhupada amongst in the Gaudiya Math, I mean, I can't tolerate it. It's like, I'm so sorry to say. I'm the first one to offer all respects to Gaudiya Math leaders and sannyasis. I would never want to speak disrespectful about any single one of them. And many are very exalted, very nice Vaishnavas. And I think we appreciate like that. But Prabhupada is Prabhupada. And there's no one like him. And therefore, we're very lucky that we are in Prabhupada's family. And we should take it like that. But we should not develop an enmity with the Gaudiya Math and think, you know, they are sahajas, they are this, they are that, and call names. That is simply an oversimplification. You know? When we go for oversimplification, then the tendency is to demonize others. Then it's very clear, you know, that they're off, they're out of it, and therefore we shouldn't have anything to do with them. No, they're not off. They are also representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes they may have little difference in the interpretation of the philosophy. Fine. It is a little lower than what Prabhupada teaches. Prabhupada's teachings are the highest. Prabhupada's personal manifestation of love of God is the highest. Prabhupada is the surest path back to Godhead. Therefore, our recommendation is stick with Prabhupada. And personally, I feel one sadness, and that is that I feel one problem in the Gaudiya Math is that they could not recognize Prabhupada. They could not recognize that Prabhupada really was the chosen one by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Because otherwise, for the rest of the world, it would have been nice if they would have simply upheld whatever Prabhupada said, rather than differing of opinion at times and causing confusion like that. So in that, I feel some sadness that is there. But I hope in the future, I think in the future, I do not just hope, I think in the future that without a doubt, Prabhupada will emerge. He has already emerged, but he will emerge in front of the vision of the world as the outstanding Acharya. And there is no question that anyone can overshadow Prabhupada. So sometimes people are very afraid, the Gaudiya Math is taking over. I don't think the Gaudiya Math could take over. I think Prabhupada is taking over, and he's been doing it all along, and I think that's what's happening, actually. Yes. But I think we, meanwhile, should remain very faithful and strong in being transparent to his divine grace and transmit things, his teachings, the way Prabhupada taught, to the present and the future. I think so. Anyway, I don't know if anyone wants a last word. Yes. There were three acharyas at one time on the planet. Yes. Lord Chaitanya has his plan, and it is not that it always has to be the same. We can see that at one point there were different needs for the Sankirtan movement. Rupa and Sanatan wrote the first books that were the basis. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in this way, we see that the different acharyas have contributed, the whole parampara, at different points in time. So when Prabhupada came, he brought it really to the world at large and to the people of this age. And now our main business is just connect with him. That is the main thing. For the time being, it's Prabhupada. And all others pointing at Prabhupada. And that is the system for now. And that must be Krishna's desire, to that Prabhupada stands out for some time as the Acharya. Then in due course of time, someone else may come forward who becomes like the prominent personality. But for now, it's Prabhupada and the servants and followers of Prabhupada. And that's very nice. So every devotee who is not a direct disciple of Prabhupada should nonetheless make a direct relationship with Prabhupada. Okay? It's not that a non-Prabhupada disciple cannot make a direct relationship with Prabhupada. One can. By following the instructions of Prabhupada, one has a direct relationship with Prabhupada. By finding out more who Prabhupada was, that relationship becomes deeper and deeper, and it becomes very inspiring. Still, the present spiritual master may be there also, guiding how to even do it better, but it is the relationship with Prabhupada that must be very much at the core of our spiritual life. Otherwise, this movement cannot be successful. Then we become a conglomeration of different sectarian groups. Sometimes you see it. One guru visits the temple, and there's a whole different group of devotees. Then when the next guru comes, there's another ISKCON. Each time it changes, the phase of ISKCON changes as the guru comes. We are one family, and we can only be one family if we look at Prabhupada. Please. Yes. No, you need a. We need a living guru, right? We need such a guru, who understands us, who knows where we are, what we can do, and who can then guide and say, for you, this instruction. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving different instructions to different people. You be a grihastha. No, not you. You do this, you do that. You distribute books, you cook, you be a pujari, whatever. So these personal instructions are very important in all regards. And we need more devotees to guide others. And in the past, we maybe had, after Prabhupada, we had some super gurus, right, with so many disciples, but that didn't work, you know. And we're now coming gradually to a point where we begin to see that rather we need genuine relationships, gurus that don't have so many disciples, if possible, to care. So we need to expand the number of senior men who take care of juniors so that it can be done in a more genuine way instead of, you know, I just finished my sentence, just in an artificial, you know, kind of rubber-stamped relationship that's flying over email but not going very deep. Your turn. Yes, why not? Why not? I'm sure that Krishna is involved. You know, we cannot just take it that things are not happening in a transcendental way. Now, the more a devotee is surrendered to Krishna, the more Krishna will make a special arrangement, without a doubt. Like Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta, obviously, was a special match. Just like Narottam Das and Lokanath Goswami were a special match. But everyone is being guided by Krishna. But at the same time, one must also be practical and also try to look for a spiritual master. Otherwise, one can wait forever. Will Krishna ever send? Will he send? No, I don't think so. You know, some people, yeah. Is there a handbook? Tattvavit. No, I'm asking Tattvavit. Okay. Right. Good point. I'm asking Tattvavit because he is an editor and he's involved in book production for many years, so he knows better than me. Tattvavit, is there a handbook? You want a catalog with pictures and biodata, advertisements, you know, tape ministries and... We stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.